right to State Senator Kevin Lundberg, who was making his way down to the state capitol on this Monday morning. Pretty day, though, out there. It was not a bad drive, at least very early, Senator. So hopefully you are enjoying a relatively stress-free drive down to the Capitol. Thank you so much for tuning in today, or being with us today.
Well, thank you, Amy. I'm glad to be on board. Yeah, it's Monday and it's not snowing. What's the deal?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Roads are dry.
It's the final 3 days of the legislative session, and it couldn't end sooner.
I know. And Senator, before we get into a couple of specifics, I do want to talk a little bit about the voter registration, same-day voter registration bill. But overall, have you ever seen a legislature go this far to the left?
This is my 11th year down here. And I'd say I've seen more bad stuff that just falls off the left cliff of political philosophy this year than I saw in the entire 10 years previous. And when you talk to lobbyists who've been down there for decades, they shake their head in disbelief. It has been unbelievable.
Yeah. The bills that I have seen, you think, for instance, SB 252, which I know made it back to the Senate and passed and is now on the governor's desk, and that's the mandate on rural electric cooperatives to increase the amount of electricity they derive from sources such as wind and solar, preferred energy sources. I thought Senator Harvey said that well. This is not about renewable energy. This is about preferred energy sources.
Right. Right. That this is social and economic manipulation on the part of the government.
Absolutely. And this is the stuff that we often accused, well, we always accused the federal government of doing, and now it is just full throttle at the state capitol.
Yeah. And you know, on 252, of course, the thing we really hammered them in the Senate is, so why are you doing this? So what's the big deal? Why do you need all of these wind-powered systems and these solar systems? And finally, they came down and started to admit that it's global warming that is driving them. And Senator Harvey just had some, you know, extraordinary comments. He said, isn't it amazing that it's in May, the snow is falling outside, and we're passing this legislation because of our fear of global warming. Now, that's anecdotal, but it's quite illustrative of just how absurd their policies have become.
Talk about another absurd policy, and really this is just ripe for abuse. And some of these, the new election laws that the progressive left has drafted and making it their way through the state legislature. What is a same-day voter registration bill?
This is possibly the worst bill that I've ever seen in the legislature, and that is saying a great deal. But the reason it is it sets up our election process for the crooks. It makes it so easy to cheat that no one can really have confidence in how the elections are conducted. If this thing becomes law, and it probably will. I called it and tried to amend it to its real meaning, which is Same-Day Voter Fraud Act. It's 128 pages. It's very comprehensive. It changes a great deal of election law. It turns the state's elections into all-mail ballot elections. It gets rid of the inactive voter status so that, here's an example. Summit County, in the last election cycle, had about 15,000 people voting, and the census was 21,000 people. And that kind of makes sense that, you know, out of 21,000 people in the county, 15,000 vote. They have nearly 25,000 people on their voter registration rolls, most of them, or many of them, inactive voters. You know, about 10,000 are inactive voters. That's, you know, nuts. Then finally, the real bad stuff is the same-day registration, because under the terms of this bill, somebody can show up at a polling place anytime during the voting process, early voting, so they can be doing this for 3 weeks in a general election, and they can say, this is my name, and just state it, you know, write it down, but they have no proof of it. I live at such and such address, and here are four digits that I claim to be the last four digits of my Social Security number. That's all the information they need provide to register with no identification required then or later. Then they need to just request a ballot right then and there. A ballot is given to them if they can show some ID. But all the ID they need is a utility bill with their name and address on, which can be easily forged. At that point in time, they're given a ballot, which they can fill out and drop in the ballot box. And these aren't provisional ballots. These are same bona fide ballots that you and I get. And they count whether or not the person was legit or not. Somebody could...
What is... Hey, Senator, let me ask a question real quick. And I think about this, because then I've got to go to my mortgage minute. What is to keep me from doing that in, let's say, 10 different counties? Hold on to that answer. What is to keep one person from going all, let's say, all along the Front Range and voting on the exact same day? And then one more question for you, and we'll think about this and we'll come back. Is it possible that Colorado could end up with more votes than we have legal residents who actually can vote? Think about those two things. We'll ask that of Senator Lundberg regarding this voter and this election bill that is making its way through the state capitol. Let's quickly go to Tracy Axton of FMS Bank. Good morning. Talking with State Senator Kevin Lundberg, and we'll pick up that conversation coming back. But my question for him is, what is to prevent one person from going to, say, 10 different counties on same-day registration, registering to vote? And is there a possibility at some point that we know that certain counties already have had more, they have more registered voters than they have people eligible to vote living in that county according to the census? Is it possible that at some point Colorado has actually more people voting than eligible to vote in the state? I mean, could that be a statewide phenomenon with this new bill? We'll ask that of Senator Kevin Lundberg in just a moment, but it's 18 minutes after 9 on this Monday, May 6th, 2013, on the Amy Oliver Show. We're going to take a quick break, and then you'll be right back here on the Amy Oliver Show on Colorado's original radio station, News Talk 1310, KFKA. Back to Kevin Lundberg, state senator, as he makes his way down. This is the last week for the legislative session. So I suppose in that case, Senator, it's good news. But the bad news is there is still horrible legislation making its way through the state capitol. I want to ask, getting back to this same-day voter registration bill, what is to prevent someone from, say, voting in 10 different counties?
Well, of course, it is a crime. So it's against the law, and if you were to get caught, you could find yourself in trouble. But the question is, can you get caught, or can the crook go and register in several locations and get away with it and drop ballots in the ballot box and nobody find them? The answer is nothing is stopping them from doing that, because they're not required to give any actual identification, any legitimate identification. The only thing is that utility bill, which you could forge. And so you give a false name, you give a false address, You give a false set of numbers that's supposed to be part of your social, and you present a piece of paper that shows those false pieces of information. You vote, you walk out the door, you go down to the next voting place, and you do it again and again and again. 10, 20, actually, with our early voting system in place, somebody could make a career of this and stuff the ballot box with who knows how many ballots.
And the thing is, the damage is done even by the time that person gets in trouble. Look at Al Franken. I mean, that's a prime example. Guy who won by more than just over 300 votes. Yet I think, if I remember the last time I saw it, and there were still a whole bunch more prosecutions out there or still to come, over 200 people were either facing trial or had plea bargained or had already been convicted of some kind of voter fraud. There
was
nothing.
Those are the ones they found.
Yeah, those are. And so my question is, damage is already done.
Yeah, and Amy, this really gets to the reason I call this the most dangerous bill that we've seen in many, many years, because it undercuts the reliability, the integrity of the election process. And if we don't have confidence in the voting process, what do we have left? We have to fix this. We cannot live with this type of law in place long term. I literally pray that we can survive one more election and put the right people in place so that we can repeal this very, very dangerous legislation.
This is sort of almost, I mean, what you're describing to me, if you can't have faith in your elections, you don't have confidence in them. That is what people who, I mean, that's sort of the idea of a banana republic where the elections are all a facade, they're show.
Right. And, you know, most of this could be cured by one simple action, and that is to require verifiable ID when you vote. Regardless of how you vote, you have to provide some verifiable ID and to register to vote as well. But of course, they rejected all of that, and they point to other states that have same-day registration, like they brought up Wyoming, which has same-day registration. But they don't have such loose identification requirements, and we need to put that in place in Colorado if we're going to have this much access to registration. It has to be valid registration.
So if we have same-day registration, just require an ID, and many of these problems are averted.
A serious ID, not something that you can cook up in your basement on your computer, but an ID that is verifiable. The ideal is a photo ID, and there's been some court issues on that as to whether or not that can be done. But Colorado has a policy that's on the exact opposite side of the spectrum, where anything goes. And if that's so, we turn the election process over to the crooks. Is that really what we want to do, either on the right or the left? Is that what anybody really wants to do?
Hey, and Senator, real quickly, where are the county clerks in all this?
In a mixed up mess in the middle is what I would say. There are several county clerks, including your clerk from Weld County, who has said, no, this is a bad idea. This is not a good bill. But unfortunately, the overall Clerks Association has endorsed the bill, I think mistakenly, particularly when I get the information from them, because I hear things, assurances of, no, you have to have identification. But when I look at the law, all that identification amounts to is a potentially forged utility bill, and that is no identification at all.
Wow. Senator, thank you so much for being on the show. We'll do one last follow-up, sort of a wrap-up of the legislative session next Monday.
Sounds great. I look forward to it, Amy.
Hey, thank you. State Senator Kevin Lundberg has checked in with us each and every Monday morning as he makes his trek down to the state capitol. heard what he said, probably the most leftist, progressive legislature ever, certainly in Colorado history. I think, at least for the time that I've been here. 31 minutes after 9 in the Mountain Time Zone. On this Monday, May 6th, 2013, we'll have Rob Douglas coming up in just a moment. The Kermit Gosnell case, the abortion butcher, the butcher of Philadelphia, that case is in the hands of a jury. So we're going to get an update. We'll talk a little bit about it from or with Rob Douglas. Interesting comment from the head of NARAL. I'll share that with you. I mean, just totally disgusting. I'll share that comment with you in just a moment. We'll also talk about Benghazi. So lots to do here on this Monday. Again, May 6th, 2013. Right now, let's check in at the 24-hour News and Weather Center. Minutes after 9 in the Mountain Time Zone. Thank you for tuning into the Amy Oliver Show on this Monday, May 6th, 2013. Continuing the show with my friend Rob Douglas of Liberty Today, talking about a couple of national issues, and these are issues that we have discussed in the past. Rob, first, thanks for being on the show.
Pleasure, Amy.
I want to get your response to this statement. We've talked about Kermit Gosnell, the butcher of Philadelphia, and you and I think have both said that Kermit Gosnell is to babies as Joseph Mengele was to Jewish children. I mean, if you aren't horrified by what happened with this man who calls himself an abortion doctor, then you just aren't human. But listen to this. This is from NARAL President Elise Hoag. This is astonishing to me. Listen to who she blames for Kermit Gosnell. She said, "So let me be loud and clear. Kermit Gosnell is a dangerous predator. He wouldn't exist, couldn't exist without the work of Rep. Duffy and his friends in the anti-choice movement." She's blaming those who are pro-life for Kermit Gosnell.
Yeah, and this is one of a series of statements that she and NARAL have been making ever since Kirsten Powers and a number of others, Kirsten Powers, a pro-life Democrat, a pro-life liberal, who really led the charge on blasting the mainstream media for not covering this issue or this trial, ever since NARAL has been trying to catch up. And, of course, they're pulling the old, well, let's shift the blame. First of all, first and foremost, the blame lies with Kermit Gosnell, so-called doctor. I just find it impossible to call this butcher a doctor, but Dr. Gosnell. As a very quick aside here, Amy, I think it's important that we recognize that this clinic and this doctor never came under investigation because of the horrific abortion, let's just call it what it is, the murder practices that were taking place in this so-called clinic for women. It came under investigation because it was a pill factory as well, because of selling medications,
right,
painkillers that were getting resold on the street. It hadn't been investigated by regulators or anyone else for decades. And that was because, contrary to what NARAL says, because even regulatory agencies under Republican and Democrat governors alike in Pennsylvania wouldn't go touch abortion clinics for fear of political backlash, or even going in and seeing if they were abiding by the very liberal abortion laws as they are. So this is a complete jujitsu
on the part of NARAL to try to say, hey, these practices are because of the pro-life movement. And I just think, you know, on a number of issues that we talk about, gay marriage and others, where you would argue that the country has become more liberal on those issues, abortion is not one of those, as you know, Amy. What we're seeing amongst the younger generations is they understand that Roe versus Wade was based on outdated science. They understand that babies in the womb are viable, I hate that term, are viable under Roe versus Wade at a much earlier point than was ever understood when Roe was written by Supreme Court Blackmun back in 73. So I don't think this jujitsu works, and I think NARAL realizes that this issue is starting to resonate as Americans learn about it.
Where is it? It's in the hands of the jury right now. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, yes. The jury has it. They got it at the end of last week. There are many, many counts to be gone through. So I would suspect that this will be potentially a fairly long period for the jury to be out, but the court tossed out a couple of counts, then actually put one back in, having felt that the court itself, the judge itself, had made a mistake. We'll see. I think we could get a verdict this week, but we'll see.
I watched the Fox News special. Special is such a it's a tough word to use in this case. The hour-long feature it did on Gosnell. And I'm just, again, if you aren't horrified by this, I don't care if you are an abortion provider. If you aren't horrified, if this doesn't just absolutely touch the soul of your being, you cannot possibly be human. There is no way to whitewash this. You just can't. So when I hear Elise Hoag try to spin this, that this is the fault of pro-life people, it sickens me even more. And frankly, it seems to me she is one of these people who is trying to justify infanticide. She's justifying infanticide by blaming somebody else. It's repulsive on every level.
Yeah, and this is the problem that NARAL and other pro-abortion organizations have, is that when they are asked specifically on these questions, when it comes to late-term abortion, when it comes to partial birth abortion, all of which are words made up to make the process of killing a viable child sound sterile, sound like something that it's not. When they are asked to testify on these issues in front of committees, in front of the Florida legislature recently, there was a lobbyist down there caught on tape, you know, saying, well, if a child is born alive as part of a quote-unquote botched abortion, another phrase that just boggles the mind, a botched abortion of a child born alive, it should be between the mother and the doctor as to what is done with that child. No, I'm sorry. That child, now there's no defense at all. That child is a citizen of the United States of America and is entitled to constitutional protections. On that one, if we're debating that at this point, if we're at the point where you have like Barbara Boxer on tape saying, well, you know, it's not really a child till it goes home from the hospital. And I know to most of your listeners that sounds strange, but that is actually the belief of many people in this country and around the world. I'm sure you've talked about with your audience that one of the reasons we went through this during the Obamacare period when that was coming along, when people will say, well, you know, our health care system in this country isn't as good as this country or that country or France. When you look at it, what was the reason for those statistics? Because we count the death of a child from the moment of birth. In many of those other countries, they don't count the death of a child as a statistic in healthcare until days, sometimes even weeks after birth, which skew the statistics. So that there is a a movement around the world that is backed in part by many governments around the world and by some in governmental power in this country who would like to have more governmental power, that a child isn't really a child until the parents take it home from the hospital, that if something occurs either in the hospital or in the abortion clinic, well, it didn't really happen to a live human being. That boggles the mind. It defies credulity, and it's not scientifically or morally, most importantly, correct.
We have more concern about puppy mills than we do about abortion mills. It is.
Sadly, that's true.
Yeah, it is. We live in topsy-turvyville. 9:45, the time we're going to take a quick break and continue our conversation with Rob Douglas. And, of course, we'll continue updating on this Kermit Gosnell story. This is horrific on every single level. And the idea that NARA would blame those who believe in the sanctity of life seems to think that they are somehow responsible for the Gosnells of the world. That's like blaming Jews for Hitler. It's or for Dr. Mengele. It's crazy. It's insane. But sadly, that's what we've come to. Do you want to quickly thank one of my sponsors? Listen, if you want to lose weight before we get to bathing suit season, if you want to get healthy, feel better, have more energy, take off a few pounds, I've got the way to do it. I've been doing it for 3 years. I took it off 3 years ago, kept it off for the last 3 years, feel better than I ever have. Not afraid to go to the doctor and have the blood work done. Not afraid to get on a scale. Not afraid to do any of that. Why? Because I got on Take Shape for Life through DamonSasso.com. Take Shape for Life, DamonSasso.com. I watched Damon lose over 100 pounds. I decided if he could lose over 100, maybe, just maybe, I could drop 15, ultimately dropped 25, kept it off for the last 3 years. Best decision I have ever made for my health. So visit with Damon Sasso. It's easy to do. DamonSasso.com. DamonSasso.com. Tell him that I, Amy Oliver, sent you. Quick break. And then getting back, some developments on Benghazi. A terrorist attack on the Benghazi compound in Libya that saw the death of 4 Americans, including our ambassador to Libya. Interesting, Jay Carney is now saying, he's the White House spokesman, saying Benghazi, oh, that happened a long time ago. That's just a long time ago. What are those developments, though? We're going to find out from Rob Douglas in just a moment. Eight minutes before the top of the hour here on News Talk 1310 KFKA's Amy Oliver Show on this Monday, May 6, 2013. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we'll have this date in history. Plus, I want to ask you this question. If a neighbor came to you and said 2 + 2 = 3, would you challenge your neighbor? Think about that. Comes in and says 2 + 2 = 3. Would you say, oh, yeah, I don't think that's quite right? I'll share with you what I mean by that in the second hour of the show. I want to get right back to Rob Douglas. Rob, give out your website so folks know where to find more Rob Douglas.
LibertyToday.info, www.libertytoday.info.
And, of course, you have a page on Facebook.
I've actually made that even easier to find. That last time we talked, I thought, boy, it's too hard to remember that, so I made it easier. It's facebook.com/LibertyTodayNews. Liberty Today News on Facebook.
Great. Now, I want to ask you this question. So Jay Carney says in a press conference, Benghazi was a long time ago. That's a long time ago.
I mentioned that, by the way, with my friends that I have coffee with this morning, and 201, many of them had seen it. They said that that was perhaps one of the greatest insults to Americans and to the families of the 4 who died, including Ambassador Chris Stevens, the first United States ambassador killed in the line of duty since the time of Jimmy Carter, the 1970s, to say that something that happened on the anniversary of 9/11 is now, just a few months later, old news. Wow, that takes some real chutzpah, Amy.
You know what? And he says it happened a long time ago. This from an administration that has been, that campaigned on the past of George Bush for two election cycles. That's what seems so amazing to me. These are guys who love revisionist history and love to beat it over the head, or beat Americans over the head with it. And now they're to have Benghazi, just a long time ago.
Unbelievable.
Now, let me ask you this. New report is out, and actually I found this on your Facebook page. Report: we have the intel to kill and capture those responsible for the Benghazi attack. If that's the case, why aren't we?
Because I think it's clear that there's no political will within the Obama administration, and it's becoming harder and harder to deny that this isn't in large part multifaceted. And protecting the Obama administration at the time of the election, remember, this takes place on the anniversary of 9/11, September 11th of 2012, just less than 2 months before his reelection is coming up. The last thing they wanted in the world, at a time when, remember, at the Democratic National Convention, they were running on the phrase, Osama bin Laden is dead and GM is alive. Osama bin Laden is dead, GM is alive. They repeated that over and over and over throughout the course of the reelection cycle. So Benghazi, with al-Qaeda involved, and from the moment this happened, we know now because of the Weekly Standard at the end of last week, getting the three versions of the talking points that were put out by the administration. In the first version, they mentioned al-Qaeda. They mentioned Islamic terrorism. That gets watered down to extremists by the time that it comes out. And even in those three versions, Amy, there's no mention, remember, of this video that supposedly, you know, a video that nobody had seen, nobody had heard about, that they dug out to claim was this spontaneous event that caused the protests in Egypt and the protests. No, these protests and the attack were specifically timed for 9/11. So, you know, it didn't even pass the laugh test at the time, but of course the mainstream media would not touch the issue. They went with it hook, line, and sinker what the Obama administration put out. And I said multifaceted. The other part of this is protecting who many believe on the left will be the next president of the United States, Hillary Clinton, who was Secretary of State of this, who all of a sudden disappeared, had a concussion, couldn't testify, and then when she testified, it was the same thing as, you know, it's a long time ago. Remember her screaming at the hearing, "What difference does it make?" She screamed, literally. In front of the senators. They want this to go away because it undercuts so much of their arguments.
Hey, Rob, thanks so much for being on the show. We will talk with you next Monday as well. In the meantime, check out libertytoday.info, libertytoday.info. Second hour of the Amy Oliver Show coming up in just a moment.
Let's face it, choosing a senior